The views expressed on the Making It Matter podcast are that of Gunnar Esiason, Julia Ray, and guests, and not necessarily those of the Boomer Esiason Foundation. Nothing in the Making It Matter podcast should be considered medical advice. Such advice can only be given by a physician who is experienced with cystic fibrosis. The Boomer Esiason Foundation, Gunnar Esiason, Julia Ray, and guests cannot be held responsible for any damage which may result from using the information on this podcast without the permission of your medical doc. You're listening to the Making It Matter podcast with Gunnar Esiason and Julia Ray, presented by the Boomer Esiason Foundation and GunnarEsiason.com.
Hey there, it's Gunnar Esiason, and thanks for joining Julia and I for episode 20 of the Making It Matter podcast series, Julia and Gunnar's Mailbox.
Hi, everyone. Making It Matter is a weekly podcast presented by the Boomer Esiason Foundation and GunnarEsiason.com, highlighting the challenges that people with CF face and the people who face them.
Since Julie and I both have cystic fibrosis, we're made compliant with the National Cystic Fibrosis Guideline regarding patient interaction and cross-infection. This podcast was made possible by Novartis, Vertex Pharmaceuticals, and the Digital Credit Union. So big thanks to them for always supporting the Boomer Esiason Foundation educational programs. So this week between Christmas and New Year's is always a little bit crazy. So Julie and I want to change it up a bit and go through as many questions that we have gotten as possible in the time allowed to us. So here we go. We're going to go with the first ever edition of the Gunnar and Julia Mailbox. Our first question was in response to our last podcast about the psychological impact of hospital stays. If you haven't listened to that one, it's probably a pretty good one to listen to. A lot of good information there. But anyways, a CF mom asked, where does someone turn when they are 30 and have extreme anxiety?
Yeah, I think that mental health is a huge component of cystic fibrosis, and so much so that they're actually requiring a mental health screening now for young adults with CF that I was actually just handed at my last clinic. And I think the best thing to do when faced with anxiety or depression is to, you know, first acknowledge those feelings for yourself and not live in shame or fear of those feelings. Like, they're completely valid and you have every right to be feeling that way. And then once you kind of accept those, reaching out and leaning on others is so important. You know, I've had personal instances where I have faced those issues, and I know as soon as I opened up and kind of surrendered to those feelings, it was exponentially better for me and changed the outcome significantly.
Yeah, no, I definitely think talking about it is probably the first place to start. You know, this is a pretty, you know, there's a lot of layers here. I look at myself, I definitely have, I know I have quite a bit of anxiety when I'm going in for a procedure, or even when I'm getting a PICC line to this day, I still have a little bit of anxiety before I go in. Even when I'm getting a blood test or something, I sort of do feel, you know, the butterflies in the basket, so to speak. But as far as where to turn when it comes to the clinic, the CF team is definitely geared to help. I know you're talking about the mental health screening. I actually have not gotten that yet for whatever reason. It actually just feels like someone finally asked me how I was, like, coping with CF within the past 6 months. It's the first time someone ever asked me. How are you handling this, Gunnar? And I'm like, oh, I think I'm doing all right. But no, I haven't.
25 years later.
Yes, right. I haven't gotten the mental health screening yet. I'm sure I'll get that. Ooh, my computer's on. I'm sure I'll get that soon. But the best person to ask, I think, is probably the social worker. The social worker, a lot of times, is definitely trained as a therapist, in many cases, at least. That person's also there to really help navigate some of the stresses that go along with CF.
Yeah, and if you need to talk to another professional, the social worker can certainly point you in that direction. And I don't think that's something to feel ashamed about either. I think, you know, speaking openly about mental health is something our nation is trying to do a whole lot better on anyway. And I think in the CF community, we should be doing that as well and accepting that it's a part of the journey and helping those that need it, for sure.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. I think most cystic fibrosis clinics are definitely equipped, at least major CF clinics, are equipped with the social worker and the full team, the dietitian, the doctor, obviously, the nurse practitioner, and all the different moving pieces of a general CF clinic. And I do think that the social worker is definitely a person to ask, but then also the doctor, too, ultimately. You know, that they can always point you in the direction of somewhere where to go and what to do, because the way it's been described to me is people who have gone through therapy or psychiatric evaluation or mental health help or whatever it may be, you know, it's got to be one of those things that I think needs to be accessible. You know, yes. As far as, you know, people with CF, we have so many things that we're constantly doing to take care of ourselves. In a lot of ways, it feels like we're just adding on another layer of care. And in a lot of ways, it's really a pain in the ass, or can be, just to feel like you're adding on another thing. So
it's easy to neglect, too.
Yeah, because it definitely is. Because it's hard. See it. Well, you can't see it.
Yeah.
It's not something you can see.
I think it's hard to admit it to yourself, too. Like,
oh, no, it definitely is. That, I mean, it definitely takes a degree of strength, to recognize that you may not be where you need to be. I like I said, I've never received any sort of mental health screening. So for all I know, I'm all screwed up. But, you know, I don't really know. I think I'm okay. But I do think that it is something that it needs to continue to be talked about. It needs to be, I think, normalized as far as CF care. Because when we look at CF care, we look at, you know, the therapies, the treatments, the meds, the enzymes, all these different things. And it's just piling on and on and on and on. And for people like me, we have the feeding tube. It's just another thing to do. Mm-hmm. And then this is just a whole other layer that's there. And whether or not we want to accept that it's part of the disease is, I think, just another step.
Yeah. And I think that that's the other thing, too, is like how much of the anxiety and depression could be just life, like, you know, like, and then how is it affected again by CF? You know, I think adolescence and then young adulthood is hard.
It's hard, but it's also probably exponentially harder for a 19-year-old kid with CF to hear somebody talk about life expectancy of being 38 years old. You know, at 19 years old, it's like, oh my God, I'm halfway through my life already. That's as ridiculous as that sounds. It's, you know, that's people talk about that sort of thing. Which is why I feel so strongly about the misuse of the life expectancy stat when it's thrown around like it's just, you know, I wrote a blog about this about a month ago, and I do feel like that the life expectancy stat and the way that it's presented is, well, it's a great marker for success and things as far as the research and technology and fundraising has come, but for people with CF, it's just like...
Yeah, how do you unpack that?
Yeah.
You know, like, you can't. It's like, I completely agree. And yeah, I think talking openly and talking to your team, that's going to be the best way to get to a solution and help you kind of navigate those feelings and kind of come around full circle to feeling good about, you know, where you are.
Exactly. So I think the short answer for this question is, where does someone turn when they're, you know, a growing adult, and they have extreme anxiety about CF and the way they're living. And I think ultimately the person, you know, you have to start the conversation with someone at the clinic. You have to start this conversation with the social worker, your doctor, someone at the clinic that can guide you in the correct direction to get you help.
Yep. Great.
So the second question comes from a YouTube subscriber. This one's a little bit of a question out of left field. My question to you, Gunnar, is while not mattering as a child, but as a young man, has a physician ever mentioned about facial hair, beards, mustaches, harboring germs or bacteria so close to the airways?
Speaking of mustaches.
Yes, speaking of mustaches, I actually happen to have one. I forgot that I even had it when we started recording. So here we are now talking about my mustache. No one has ever said anything to me about my facial hair. Has anyone said anything to you about your facial hair?
No, thankfully.
That's a kind of a crazy question. I can't say I have ever considered that.
Ever. Yeah, I was going to say, like, I don't. My brother with CF has a full beard, like, long. And he's never come up in conversation either. So Actually, interesting. I mean, like, actually something to think about.
But is it? I mean, here's a funny anecdote. I was a sophomore in college, and I got pretty sick. I had, who knows what I had. I had some sort of virus or whatever. So I had to go on IV antibiotics, and I had a lot of mucus like that. So the doctor decided that she wanted to use IV steroids. And this was the first time I'd ever used IV steroids. And let me tell you, IV steroids are amazing. They make you feel like a brand new person after 5 minutes.
Immediately.
It was unreal. It was absolutely unreal. But they only use them when they're supposed to be used. So I left BC to go back to New York to start IVs. That was the plan when I was younger in college. My freshman, sophomore years, I would go back home for a few days, start the IV, and then come back to Boston probably 3 or 4 days into the IV and take the rest on myself. So I always had this terrible reputation of growing a patchy beard. Like, I was growing like a patchy, like, gross, dangly beard. And I go home, I use the IV steroids, I come back, and my friends are like, "Oh my God, Gunnar, what happened to your beard? It looks awesome." And I was like, "That's probably from the steroids." Who knows if that's what it was. But I came back, and I was finally able to grow a full big beard. And my friends were so jealous because they also were in that stage in life where they were growing patchy, gangly beards. So there is a perk to having CF. That might be one of them. However, not a great perk, but it was one.
Not for the females with CF.
Have I ever thought about whether or not that beard, or in this case, my Chuck Norris mustache, does it hold bacteria? I have no idea. It's a great question. Thank you for the question. But no, I've never thought twice about it. Oh, you know, I do think twice about it when my mom gets angry at me. She still gets, I'm 25, and she still gets really upset.
It's not a fan.
So here's another anecdote about the reason I have the mustache, actually, is we had a Christmas party. I was going to a Christmas party probably about 5-6 days, like Friday before Christmas, and I knew there was going to be pictures taken, so I actually shaved a Fu Manchu. And my mom saw me, and she was like, "Gunnar, we're having friends over for Christmas. You can't have that. You have to shave the Fu Manchu." So I did. Yeah. I shaved the Fu Manchu by shaving the handlebars off and leaving the mustache. Obviously.
Typical son move.
Yes. Living in my teenage years still. So.
Rebel.
I mean, here's the deal. Listen, if you listen to this podcast and you have an answer for us as far as whether or not the beard does, in fact, harbor bacteria, do go ahead and tell us. I will say this, that where my G-tube is, I have hair on my stomach around my G-tube wound. So not only do I have a tube in my stomach, I also have hair on my stomach, which is gross. So, I'm 0 for 2.
So that? Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, perhaps cite a study when you comment and know that maybe it's not wise, Gunnar. Maybe your mom can back up her anti-facial hair with some
science
studies. Yeah.
That's the last thing my mom needs, another reason to make me shave my beard. I'm a beard guy. I mean, I don't like being clean shaven. That's just the way I am.
Yeah. It's the in thing right now, I think, too.
Yes, as the fashionista of group here, I appreciate the insight.
You're very on trend.
Yes, exactly. As to whether or not I'm doing the right thing by the trends of society.
Yeah.
All right, so that was our second question. Our third question comes from another CF mom, and it asks what we think about the frequencer versus the vest. Okay, so the frequencer, for those of you who may not know, is a lot like the, what's it called, the percussor. I think. Basically, we have a podcast. I'll attach the video podcast to the blog right up here so you can see what it looks like. I happen to love it. It basically, you hold it in one hand and it kind of moves around your chest and it sends airwaves, or sound waves rather. That's why it's called the frequencer. It sends sound waves through your chest walls into your lungs, and it loosens up the mucus so you can cough it. The reason I like it is because it lets you focus on specific parts of the lung. For me particularly, I do have, there are certain areas in my lungs that I have, I would say, worse disease than other mm-hmm. parts of the lung. I don't, who knows why that is?
Yeah, no, I have the same issue. Like the where my lung has partially collapsed is always more of an issue for me. But okay, I've so never used the frequencer. Yeah, totally.
Okay. So, well, have you used the other one?
Percussor?
Yeah.
Yeah. In the hospital, like once, I think they used it for my respiratory therapy during the day. And I didn't mind that. I think whenever I've needed specific spots worked on, I've always gone back to
just manual PT.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. I can tell you, there's a number of times during college when I had my friends whack me.
Yeah.
And really try to loosen Syndicus up. I'm sure they love that. But no, frequencer, I think the frequencer gives me the ability to do that, though, by myself.
Right.
I mean, I'm definitely a big believer in the vest. I'm not going to tell you which one is better because ultimately it comes down to what you think works for you or your child. You know, it's one of those things where it's a little bit of trial and error. You know, everyone's a little different here, so.
Well, and perhaps, like you said, for different uses, you know?
Exactly. And there are ways to get both of them through insurance. Obviously, it's not going to happen the same year. Maybe you go with one, you know, this year, and then you go with another 5-6 years down the road when the insurance mm-hmm. is ready to re-up you. Or maybe not even 5-6. Maybe it could be 2 or 3, you know, depending on your insurance policy. Yeah, I think the way I did it was I got, you know, I had the vest for many, many years, and then the frequencer came along, and that's how I got my hands on it. I think I was in a trial for the frequencer, actually, now that I think about it. Although, I don't know. It was a while ago. Yeah, somehow I had it for, a month trial or whatever.
Oh, well.
And then they ended up letting me, stick with it.
I'm going to look into it.
I will say this, though. It's very easy to travel with. It's probably, I don't know, a third of the size of the vest. It's very easy to carry on the plane. You know?
Yeah.
It fits comfortably into the overhead.
That would be.
Whereas the vest is a little bit more of a tricky situation to get on, to get in. To get in the little compartment up there.
Well,
but yeah, no, I mean, listen, I think if, and then most clinics, they will give you the opportunity to try things, right? So if your clinic is offering a trial with a frequencer, you know, you really have nothing to lose to try it, right? Yeah. So, it's definitely a good thing to at least try or maybe get your hands on. It's really, I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm not going to tell you one's better than the other. I will say I use the vest twice a day. And then if I am traveling or if I'm in a situation where I feel like there is a problem area or I'm trying to move a plug, when I say a plug, mucus from a specific spot inside my lungs, then the frequencer is the go-to. The vest, I feel like is more of an all-encompassing treatment.
Right. Every day.
Exactly. Kind of it just does the whole thing. You know, it gives you the opportunity to huff, cough, and stuff like that. But yeah, no, there are some benefits to the frequencer. But the vest, I think, the vest is definitely the bread and butter of CF care.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for as long as I can remember, the vest has been available. As much as I hated it when I was younger, the vest.
Oh, I loved it.
Really? When did you start using it?
I was six.
You were 6 years old when you started using it?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, I loved it. I would do like a little lamb. Like I thought it was the coolest thing ever when we first got it. And I started to nap with it. Like I would just pass out while I was feeling the vibrations. Yeah.
Actually, funny you say that because whenever I have it on, my friends fall asleep to the noise.
It's soothing.
Yeah, they think it's like a white noise sort of thing. It puts all of them mm-hmm. to sleep. Every single one of them falls asleep to it. Totally. And in college, it was like a big fun thing for all my friends to try.
Like, I have videos of my friend.
Thing on. It looks so cool. yeah, it is cool, man.
Yeah.
Whatever. that's my experience with the vest and the frequencer. Definitely, if you have the opportunity to try both, do it. I mean, at the end of the day, it's all about having the right option, right? You want to have options for yourself. You don't want to pencil yourself into one thing specifically and then find yourself stuck there. I think you really want to be able to... I don't know. You want to be able to
figure out what works.
Exactly. Figure out what works and what doesn't. And the earlier you can do that, the better.
Absolutely.
All right. So the fourth and final question for this mailbox episode comes from a Facebook message. and it asks how Julie and I deal with CF being an invisible disease.
Yeah, that's a great question, and probably multi-pronged, and we can most likely circle back to this one because I feel like there's so many different ways we could go with this. But I mean, in some ways, I think it's great that it's an invisible disease in the sense that, you know, no one, when you're just walking outside or with your friends, it's not like anyone's going to really realize that you're fighting this, right? But then I guess that's the other aspect of it, is that I think some people end up frustrated that people don't realize the, you know, like that famous saying, everyone is fighting a battle, you know, like you'll never know what they're fighting at home. So I think that's probably where the frustration lies, that it's an invisible disease. You know, it's always funny to me when, you know, especially around the holidays and the cold weather changing, family members are fighting colds and like to hear them complain about it. And I'm just like, this is like every day.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I hear you. My mom and dad both had a nasty, nasty cold the past couple weeks. And they were like, they're like, man, this is miserable. And then I was like, just sitting there and I was like,
come on.
And then they kind of looked at me. I was like, no, it's like, I sympathize with people. Like feeling sick and having a cold is like the worst thing ever. So I can totally. Sympathize. It's not like I'm a stone cold person over here with no emotion outwards, you know? Like,
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's okay. You're sick. Like you don't feel good. It's all right.
Yeah.
You don't have to like,
no.
You don't have to complain. It's okay.
Yeah. Well, and I think like, I actually think that that's a benefit of CF, is our perspective is so much greater. It's like, yeah, well, first of all, if we went around complaining about the daily like burden, we'd be pretty miserable all the time.
Yeah, no, I think with the invisible disease, there's two ways to look at this. You know, we have every reason in the world to complain, but I do think, why would we waste our energy in doing that? Because it's one of those things where it's like, why would you waste your time to do that when you could positively channel your energy elsewhere?
Yeah.
You know, it takes effort to complain. And I think a lot of us don't realize that. And it's really one of those things where you're like, what the hell am I doing here? Why am I even complaining? You know, why am I so upset at the world? You know, there's, at the end of the day, it just happened, right?
Right.
There, you know, you didn't, you weren't chosen to have CF, or you weren't, you know, no one's giving you CF as like a, you were bad in a previous life or something. Like,
yeah,
give me a break.
Just,
you know,
happened.
It's like, it just happened. So I think, you know, there are some pros and cons to the invisible, to the actual concept of the invisible disease, And one of those is, you know, you do tend to be treated like a regular person, and I prefer to be treated that way. I don't want a pity party all over the place. But at the same time, you know, you do get some criticisms in really weird situations. You know, I have a handicap thing on my car that I really try not to use unless I'm really sick. And it's one of those things where my parents are always fighting with me. They're like, Gunnar, you have the handicap thing. It's there for you, and like you're deserving of it. But at the same time, I have, you know, had some pretty uncomfortable situations with people being like, oh, you're not a handicapped person. Like, this is for, like, it's supposed to be used for someone. And you know, you kind of have to just blow those off, and you're like, all right, man, whatever. Just, you have no idea. Don't worry about it. But, you know, there are two sides to this argument, and I think some people do struggle with it, where other people are just kind of like, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I remember when I was in the hospital, and had in during one of my like partial lung collapse spells, it was my first week in the hospital, and one of my uncles came to visit me, and he walks in the door and he's like, well, you look great. And I was like, that's the last thing I want to hear right now. Like, you know, so I think
I don't feel great.
I am here for a reason. So I think that is part of that can be part of the negative too, is like when people constantly tell you, well, you look so good, you know, and you're like, well, my sinuses would tell you a different story, you know, like if you could see inside. So I think that is a real struggle that that people have and I've certainly faced. So I think, yeah, I think there are pros and cons to the invisible disease, and you just kind of, it is something that kind of just comes with the territory.
Yeah. And it's one of those things that really, I don't think you can spend a lot of time thinking about it. But as far as like a strategy that I use to get over it, it really comes down to the fact that it's the life that you're living, right? So you have to, as soon as you come to grips with that, things aren't going to change overnight. You know, we're not going to wake up tomorrow morning and all of a sudden be free of CF. You know, that's just not going to happen. It's unrealistic. So I do think that there are moments in life when you have to realize and you have to accept with what you're dealing with, how things are going, you know, things like that. And as soon as you can confirm with yourself that you're dealing with something that most people are not, in fact, a lot of people are not, you really just stop feeling sorry for yourself. You know,
yeah.
As far as I'm concerned, I stopped feeling sorry for myself when I was 2 years old, because I've known nothing else.
Yeah. You
know, I definitely deal with frustration and anxiety like we've talked about, but that's different. That's just, I think, because I'm a motivated go-getter kind of person, and I do feel like that sometimes the CF gets in the way of some of my plans. But as far as dealing with what other people think about me because of my CF, that's like a sticks and stones may break my bones sort of thing, you know?
Right.
But words will never hurt me. You know, it's true, but, you know, you do hear the words. And people are out there talking about it, and, you're on the train, and you're coughing, and then all of a sudden people want to move away from you. You get used to it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, is it really that big of a deal?
Yeah. And I actually, like, have a little mental trick that I do myself when those things happen, you know, whether it's wearing the mask. Because wearing the mask for me for a while was something to get over. Especially like when I was really young and in the hospital and other kids would make fun of me. And it was just something that I came up with in my mind, like, well, you have no idea. Like, it was like almost making it like a positive thing, you know, and like, let them move. Okay. Like, you know,
I was actually,
it's almost like a little secret, you know?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I was actually, I was on the train last night coming home from the Rangers game. And the train just happened, like the game went over, so I ended up missing the train that would have been less crowded, and the train that I ended up getting on was like standing room only. So I have my mask on, obviously, it's flu season in New York, it's, you know, I can't not wear the mask on a train like that. So I'm wearing it, and then finally some guy just like, you know, it's one of those things where everyone's like crammed like sardines in the train.
Mm-hmm.
So some guy's finally asked, he's like, do you ever get like sick of people like giving you weird looks for wearing the mask? And it was kind of a weird thing to ask. And I was like, nah, man. Like, you kind of just get used to it, I guess. And he goes, oh, but then he started telling me how he worked in medicine and all this stuff. And I was like, yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, yeah, people are going to give me weird looks and that's going to happen. But would I rather that or get the flu? You know, and then have the flu change my life forever?
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, you have to balance that. What is more important in your life? And I could care less if people are giving me a strange look because I'm wearing a mask on the subway train.
I wish I could remember which philosopher it was, but some philosopher used to go into town purposely dressed crazy, like to embarrass himself so that he built up the mental capacity to not care like what other people thought of him. And I just thought that was a really interesting, like, there's such a parallel between, you know, wearing the mask or, you know, I've done my nebulizer in the airport, you know, and get weird looks, like just saying, all right, like that's your problem, not mine, if you're looking at me weirdly.
Well, it's like those people with CF who have to wear oxygen out in the, on the, you know, that's a whole other thing. You know, there's, you know, how frequently do you see somebody 25 years old, 20, you know, 25, 30 years old wearing oxygen, like walking down the sidewalk? It's a pretty uncommon thing, but, you know, at the end of the day, you got to live your life too. So, I think it's one of those things where, you know, unfortunately, you have to get over it. You know, there are some difficult things, but you can do it. You have to find it within you to sort of get beyond the some of the struggles that come along with it.
Yeah, that's what other people think is something you can't take on yourself, obviously. I mean, that's...
I think it's important to build a good reputation for yourself, but at the same time, you don't want to have the outside world bringing you down.
Right. Yeah.
I think it's a good way.
Or making you unhealthy.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I mean,
case of the mask.
Yeah, exactly. So that's my answer to the invisible disease topic. I'm sure we'll come back to that because that's something that's definitely discussed pretty broadly. And yeah. It's definitely, I think it's an important topic. It's also one of those things like mental health that's sort of overlooked in a lot of ways because mm-hmm. when you're growing up with something you're dealing with it every day, it's just second nature at that point.
Right.
All right, so we're going to move on now to Making It Matter. And our Making It Matter person this week is Caitlin O'Hara, who made national news leading up to Christmas time with the hashtag Lungs for Caitlin. Caitlin and I have a lot in common. She went to Boston College, and she has CF. She did spend a long agonizing time on the transplant list before finally receiving a pair of lungs. However, they just came a little too late. She passed away a few days after getting a second shot at life. Caitlin will be dearly missed by the Boston College community and the CF community. As I know, thousands and thousands of people were following her progress and her wait for lungs. Caitlin was 33 when she passed away, far too young for such a great person. But her story was one of certainly courage and miracles and a lot of really great things coming out of such a sad time for her and her family. So please keep her family in your thoughts. And Caitlin, you will be missed.
Absolutely. And she had a beautiful essay. I think she did a couple of blogs you can link to on this post, Gunnar.
Yeah, well, definitely. Her and her mom sort of ran a blog as she was progressing down the transplant list. So, Caitlin, breathe easy these days, and we're all thinking about you. So that's all the time we have for today. Thanks for tuning in for the 20th episode of Making It Matter. I can't believe we're up to 20 so far. Remember, you can follow along with our weekly podcast via my YouTube channel on GunnarSiason.com or JuliaRay.com. And now you can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes.